Yesterday, you had the Johnson County DA, Steve Howe, who's joining us here on KCMO, give a press conference explaining why he decided to not press charges in this case of a 27-year-old schizophrenic Olathe man, name is Brandon Lynch, who was shot and killed by police on New Year's Eve a few months back after his sister called the cops due to an episode that was taking place at the home. This individual was well known to Olathe police due to his mental illness. But unfortunately, things went sideways. And it's an absolutely tragic story. But as I started the show off with this morning, to me, this is how you build trust between communities, law enforcement, and those who are in charge of enforcing that law, like Steve Howe in Johnson County, who joins us on KCMO. So, Steve, we appreciate you being here. Take us through this decision and what folks in Olathe and Johnson County at large should know about how you came to this decision to not charge an Olathe officer.
Good morning, Pete, and thank you for having me on and having an opportunity to talk about this. Of course, our OSINT investigation team, which is made up of other agencies, did this investigation over a number of months. Provided me all the information. We asked for some follow-up information. They provided that. And then ultimately what we do is we take the facts and we apply Kansas law as to whether or not a law enforcement officer properly used deadly force. In this instance, we felt that the officers were justified in using deadly force for a variety of reasons. First of all, they were there on a domestic violence call. Clearly, his sister had already been beaten by him, and so they at that point had probable cause to arrest him, and in fact the state of Kansas has a mandatory arrest law that requires officers to do so. They went in the home, they used their words, they tried to get to defuse the situation, and then Mr. Lynch unfortunately displayed two weapons, a taser and a knife. It was at at that point the officers backed out of the house to the front door in order to defuse the situation, but unfortunately, Mr. Lynch continued to pursue them. And then there was a standoff in that front room, and one of the things we talked about at the press conference, Pete, was that when you have a sharp-edged weapon like that, that there is a window where that person can close on an officer before they can even react. And he was in that danger zone for that officer. They tried using a taser on two occasions, and basically they ran out of options. And then when he then came towards them, they had to use deadly force. And I found that that was reasonable. One of the things that we have to look at is, officers have a right to defend themselves and protect themselves from getting hurt. And in this instance, we felt like with this individual closing the gap to like around 10 feet and coming closer, that the officer had no choice but to use deadly force. And it's a tragedy that we have this situation, but it's a necessity that law enforcement be able to protect themselves and members of the public. And we felt it was reasonable based on state law.
And, you know, people see body camera footage and they, I think there's this misconception that 10 feet is far away, but you can close a 10-foot gap, and we're talking a split second, right? I mean, I don't know if you have that number off the top of your head, but I mean, that we're talking tenths of seconds here.
Well, there's studies that show that a person can close 21 feet between 1.5 and 1.7 seconds.
Wow.
And that is about the time it takes for an officer to pull his gun and pull the trigger. And so that officers are trained that when they get inside 21 feet with a knife, that they're in a danger area. And Mr. Lynch was far inside that envelope. And, unfortunately, officers have to use deadly force in these situations. Mr. Lynch clearly was a disturbed individual. But he had already been violent once, and then the officer had indicated in his testimony that he didn't want him to come out of the house where his sister still was, as well as members of the public, and felt like he needed to draw a line in the sand there to protect the rest of the community. And I found that that was a reasonable action on the officer's part. And then the other thing is the officers shouldn't have to be required to back up and retreat, especially when they have authority to make an arrest. And so, as I indicated in the press conference, it's a sad day when we have officers that need to have to run away versus running towards danger, because that's what their job is. And so that's what the community expects. And this officer acted reasonably in this instance.
Steve Howe, Johnson County DA, is joining us on KCMO. This Olathe man who was shot and killed in his home on New Year's Eve found out yesterday, the DA announcing that he will not be pressing charges against the officer. What about, you know, people are saying, hey, what about a health professional being on the scene? And I know the police chief there in Olathe said, hey, this was all like less than 3 minutes it took for all this to evolve. What is, I know you don't represent the Olathe Police Department per se, but what is the general approach on when you have a health professional, if one's required, how many there even are in cases like this?
Well, we have co-responders who are from the mental health department embedded in all the departments, including Olathe. But I have worked with Tim DeWeese, who is the head of Johnson County Mental Health, and he has indicated that there is no way in this situation that they would stick a co-responder, an unarmed co-responder, into that situation, because you have an armed individual and it is not a safe safe situation. And so even if there was a co-responder on the scene, that would not have changed the dynamics of it. And rightfully so, putting a mental health worker into that dangerous situation would only complicate things, not make it better. So, you know, most of the time, and as the chief talked about, we are light years ahead of most communities in as far as having mental health workers working with law enforcement and diverting people that would normally go to jail to other resources. And so I'm very proud of what Johnson County does and has done and is continuing to do. And I think we should be thankful that that different communities and cities in the county are putting those resources together to protect those who are really troubled in our community. But that doesn't prevent us from having tragic situations. It's it's unfortunately a reality. And law enforcement is having contact with more and more mentally ill people. And so, unfortunately, there will be other instances where tragic results occur.
Steve, it is my belief that you doing a press conference like you did yesterday that was wildly transparent is good for those who may question authority, question transparency in law enforcement and from departments and offices like yours. Was that a calculated decision on your part to basically lay all this out to the public and to the media and say, this is why we've come to this decision? Because I assume you didn't have to do that.
No, and there's some jurisdictions that don't. But for some time that we've decided that in these situations, there's a lot of public interest. And in order for people to have trust in our law enforcement agencies and my office, it's important for us to talk about the reasons for us making this decision. And so it's something that is difficult to do and difficult to explain in, in really complicated situations. But there has been a lot of challenges to the integrity of law enforcement and the criminal justice system. And I think this is a way to help repair some of that damage that was done, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. And again, have the public trust the decisions made by law enforcement, prosecutors, and the rest of the criminal justice system.
Johnson County DA Steve Howe on KCMO. Thank you so much for being here, Steve. Really appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.
You have a great day as well. Thank you very much.
You bet.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is that, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Good work out of him.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.